You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Nancy Lee Woody had a career in the business department at American River College. She was writing textbooks and then decided to shift focus and expand the arts side of her life. She is an artist. You might know her drawings, paintings, and photos from shows in the area and the KVIE auction. She writes poetry. She recently won first place in the Voices of Lincoln Poetry Competition. She's working now on her memoir, which I understand is a compilation of short stories, but her first novel was released about 18 months ago. It's titled Tears and Trombones. Nancy's in the studio to talk about it. Hi, it's nice to meet you. Glad to have you on the program.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Will you talk about this shift in your focus from working in the business department to really becoming more of an artist?
Well, I always was a misplaced person, I think. I've always been a creative person. When I was teaching, I took a lot of photographs. I traveled and I enlarged them 20 by 30 and hung them at the college. I just love art and music. And so I guess I've always been that way. And so when I retired, I had time to actually pursue it. I mean, writing textbooks is arduous and takes a lot of time. So I didn't have any time to be creative then in the sense that I do now.
Has that misplaced feeling gone away?
Yes, absolutely. I'm definitely where I belong now.
So let's talk about the novel. It's set in a span from the 1930s to the 1970s, set in the Sacramento area.
Yes, it is.
I've said it parallels real life. So the central character is a young boy named Joey. And how much of that story is true?
Well, you know, it's a novel. So, but the stories were told to me, especially the stories about the boy when he was a child. The book starts when he was 9 years old. And the stories of the musicians in the symphony and playing with Johnny Cash at Folsom Prison, that sort of thing. Those stories were all true, even though I had to make up the details because they happened a long time ago. But I thought they were fascinating stories when I heard them. And I thought, if I can write these stories right, I'm going to have a great book and people will like it.
Joey is a young boy navigating a dysfunctional family. The family moves a lot. He has to change schools. His dreams are shot down. His alcoholic father is abusive. But we meet him, if we go past the initial opening pages, at a time when he is discovering what he wants to do with the rest of his life. Will you give us a little setup of what has happened on the playground and then share a reading from that time in his life?
Joey went to a new school, and he goes to school barefoot, and he was bullied. And he was told by a kid there, they wouldn't let fruit-picking barefoot trash like you into a symphony hall where Tchaikovsky will be performing. And the challenge spurred Joey to go home and to ask his mother, manipulate her, really, to take him to a concert in San Francisco. She herself had never been to one.
And that's an important word right there, is manipulate.
Yes.
Because by age 9, this boy has survival skills.
He does.
His father's wretched.
His father's wretched and may seem to do horrible things and does everything he can to keep his boy from becoming a musician. It's embarrassing to the father, who is a construction worker and an alcoholic and a tough guy. And it's embarrassing to him. So he uses cruelty to keep the boy from pursuing his dream, finally.
That description would not have been so unusual for that era.
Probably not even now, maybe, but especially then. Yeah, I think you're right.
Well, let's go to the reading, Nancy, because at this point, his mother has become his partner, and she would have that role throughout his life in helping him take his dedication, his determination to becoming a musician to places that the family as a whole would never have supported.
Yeah, his mother, the primary relationship, I think, is with Joey and his mother. They're in the symphony hall. I'll say that. This is the first concert they've ever been to. A man with a violin came onto the stage and the audience went wild. I didn't understand what all the clapping was about, as nothing had happened besides that one note being played over and over again. "That's the soloist, Joey," Mother whispered. When the audience settled down, a man dressed in a long black coat with tails on it walked to the center of the stage and bowed several times. Everybody clapped all over again for a long time, and still there was no music. "That's Pierre Monteau," Mom said. "He's the conductor, and before you ask, he's the leader of the orchestra." Finally, the conductor turned to face the musicians. raised his stick, and when it came down, the orchestra began to play so softly at first that I could hardly hear them. I was confused and didn't know where to look or how to listen to the different sounds coming from all around me. When the man with the violin began playing, I thought, it must be the sweetest sound anybody ever heard. The breath went out of me. Everything but that music was shut out of my mind. I don't know how much time passed before everybody stood up and started clapping again and yelling, "Bravo! Bravo!" Everybody except me. I just sat there in a daze, staring at the musicians. Mom shook me and asked if I was all right. She pulled me to my feet as the San Francisco Symphony played the Star Spangled Banner. I could feel the music come into my chest as the horns sounded the melody of the rocket's red glare, and I knew right then what I wanted to be someday. I wanted to be somebody really special, somebody just like that man who played the violin.
That's Nancy Woody reading from Tears and Trombones. I said that her novel has a lot of real-life parallels, so in real life, Joey is a musician that many people know well.
Oh, yes, he is, definitely. He's composing now in retirement.
And so with that said, let's listen to a piece of music that he has composed for the extraordinary cellist Susan Lamb Cook. That is a cello concerto composed by Gilbert Woody. His story is the basis for Nancy Woody's first novel, Tears and Trombones. And the book, by the way, recently won an Independent Publishers Award for Best Fiction in the Western Pacific region. So you and your husband share the last name, obviously. You shared a lot of collaboration.
Yes, we have, yeah.
When you heard his story and some of what he had grown up with and endured, was it impossible for you to believe? Because, Nancy, there is a lot of this book that is so harsh and so difficult that it could be fiction. It's sad that it's true.
It was not hard for me to believe because I had a similar poverty-struck childhood myself with a lot of violence, and it was not hard for me to believe. So, but I thought that what was amazing about this story is that the boy fought back always. He had these creative ways to kind of passive-aggressive ways to fight back against his father. He never questioned him, never sassed, he never did anything like that, but he fought back in his way. And I thought that was remarkable.
I'm amazed by how clear and focused he was on his goal of becoming a professional musician. And no matter what came at him, he found a way to not lose track of that goal.
That is amazing, isn't it? And I think a lot of kids are like that. They know the day they're born what they're going to be, and others flounder, but he always knew. And I was very impressed with that. And the stories he told about the musicians that he encountered were equally interesting, I thought.
You have an ability to write accurately, descriptively, and emotionally about music. There's also quite a love story in this book.
Yeah.
As Joey becomes an adult, the central characters are his friends, Roger, a musician, Donna and Catherine, and he gets into a pretty intense and at times ugly love triangle there.
Right.
How much of that storyline is true?
None of it's true. I made it up. But I think that it's not so unusual for somebody like him who was focused on music. He wanted so badly to succeed, and his self-confidence was very low. So when he came across a woman like Catherine, who was beautiful and smart and everything that anybody would ever want in a girl, a high school girl, he really never thought he was good enough for her. And so he backed away on purpose. And Donna loved him, and he, you know, he needed that. He needed to be loved and appreciated, and he needed to be helped. He needed financial support to get through college.
The traits that show up even in the fictionalized storylines are traits of very high-level, high-intensity musicians, aren't they?
I've had, you know, I just had a conductor in England, his name is Alwyn Green, send me a review, and he said, there's a little bit of the musician, of every musician in Joey. I think they are often focused to a point where other people don't understand, because it's so difficult to get to that number one position in a symphony.
The end of the book is satisfying. For people who hang in there through the difficulty of the writing,
right.
The ending doesn't tip over the edge, but it is rewarding.
I think so, too.
And the real life ending is that your husband, Gil Woody, did teach music history at Sacramento City College until he retired, and he's been composing. I guess there's a long list of what he's composed.
There's a long list, yes. And he's been invited to come to the Eastman School of Music, which is, I think, a big deal. He's going to be guest composer there on May 1st. And so we're thrilled about that. And he's written, for the past year, he's written exclusively for the trombone and beautiful music for the trombone, which nobody else does, really. So
there is an interesting story about how he finds the trombone, and we only have about 30 seconds. Do you want to go for it?
If I can find it.
Well, you could just say it.
Oh, I can say it, yeah.
There's a closet of instruments, right?
Yeah, he wants to be, and after he goes to the symphony, he wants to be in the school band. And he says, I want to play the violin like that guy in the San Francisco Symphony. So his mother takes him to the music teacher at the school, and he tells him, I want to play the violin. And he said, well, go back. Let's go see what we have back here. And what they had was a trombone. They didn't have anything else. And so he took the trombone home. And, of course, he'd go, he couldn't get a sound out of it, and he hated it.
Well, I bring up that story just because it's good evidence for why all these programs that send instruments to school are so important.
They are important, I agree.
Nancy, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to meet you and talk about your book.
Thank you, Beth. I appreciate it.
The novel is Tears and Trombones. That's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruryak. There's more at capradio.org/insight. Thanks for listening. Mm-hmm.